Thanks for taking the time to do this little interview.
Yeah, no problem.
I'll start with introducing myself. My name is Ryan Paul. I'm a mathematician in New York City. I'm really doing this because the games that I really like, I don't know too much about their background and stuff. However, the bigger games, you could find stuff everywhere. So that was really one reason I created this.
That's cool.
Do you think you could quickly introduce yourself and if you could describe Tricky Towers in your own words?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Samer Lawa. I'm the artist and game director and game designer on Tricky Towers. And Tricky Towers is a game made by a team of six in Amsterdam. It's a multiplayer puzzle, Tetris-like game. That's just most fun to play with your friends, and it's a project that we've been working on for a long time because this is like one of the latest iterations of it. We've been working on it for like on and off, like not just Tricky Towers but evolutions of it for like the past 6 to 8 years or something.
Oh wow, that's a long time. So then the first few iterations of Tricky Towers, what was the target platform for that?
The first version of Tricky Towers was actually called differently. It was called 99 Bricks, and 99 Bricks was a Flash game that was released on different Flash portals like Congregate and Miniclip, stuff like that, Newgrounds, and that was actually just a really small, basically it was the core mechanic of Tricky Towers. It was just 99 bricks, you got 99 bricks and you had to place them, and when you place them they get physics and they fall off, and your goal was to build the highest tower using 99 bricks.
I see.
So that was the first iteration, and that was just a simple Flash game, and then we did like another Flash game of it, and we licensed it to other games, so other games had this as a mini game in their game. And at some point we made a mobile game out of it called 99 Bricks Wizard Academy, and that was like 3 years ago, I think. And that did really good on mobile, on iOS and Android. So we figured it would be cool to make it multiplayer and bring it to console, because we've always wanted to make console games.
I'm so happy you guys made that decision, because that's where I played and that's where I enjoyed it. When I first played this game, I didn't like it at all, right? I booted it up and it's like, okay, another Tetris clone. They're going to mess with this Tetris formula that I so dearly love and I've been playing for many, many years. So I booted it up, I quit it right away. I booted it up again sometime later on, still wasn't feeling it too much. And then, I don't know, I think on the third or fourth boot up, what made me keep coming back to booting it up, I don't know. But at that moment, when I realized the effects that the physics had on the entire game, that's what kept me coming back. Was there any point where you guys, you had a different set of blocks besides the seven Tetris blocks?
Yeah, we did, and that was actually one of the evolutions. That was one of the Flash games. It was called Legend of Gary. It was like a story-based version of the first 99 Bricks game, and that at some point, to make it more difficult, also had bricks that were made out of. So these are all made out of four units, four squares, and we had shapes that were made out of five, six, or seven squares, I think, which made it really more difficult to place them. And that was actually one of the inspirations to, in Tricky Towers, add like the piano that you can get, or the little windmill, which is just basically a different shape than you're used to from 99 Bricks or Tetris. And it makes it more difficult to place them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was definitely an inspiration for it.
Was there like one founding member?
Yeah, it wasn't me. There are two founders of Weird Beard Games. They're called Niels Monshauer and Joram Rafalovic. And there was actually a third one, but he quit the company and started doing something else. And they're the ones that came up with the whole 99 Bricks concept. And the way they came up with it. So basically, it's a bit weird because this isn't really my story; it's their story.
Yeah, right, right.
But they were playing WarioWare games, like the little micro games. And there's one that was when the Wii just came out. And there's this one mini game where you have to hold your Wiimote and balance blocks on it, just normal, like rectangular blocks. And they figured like, hey, this was pretty fun. And we were yelling at each other during this game. So maybe we can do something with it. And that's when they came up with the doing this with Tetris bricks. And the reason why 99 Bricks became 99 Bricks is because the physics engine that they were using back then in Flash would start giving like frame rate hiccups past 100 bricks. So they figured it would be best to just cap the amount of bricks in the game to 99, and that's why they came up with 99 Bricks.
The different modes in the game are done tremendously well. They were well thought out. There isn't one that sucks, right? They're like all no, because you know I've seen different clones of Tetris, and it's like okay, like that was you could tell like that little extra mode was it wasn't necessary, but in this one every mode it was well thought out. Was there like another mode in there that you guys kind of cut out, or you wanted to add and they didn't add in?
Yeah, we experimented a lot. So especially to find like the multiplayer fun was pretty difficult. So we took a couple of months of just prototyping real quick different modes. For example, we had a mode in which it was your objective to destroy a tower that was already built, which just wasn't as much fun as we thought in the beginning. We always said, that building fast wasn't very fun until we built race mode, because we kept postponing it because we thought it wasn't very fun, and then we made race mode and we just made like a finish that you had to race towards, and we played it, and that's when Joram said like, I think this is the most fun I've had with this game in all of this prototyping stage. So yeah, that's when we came up with race mode. And the one with the hearts, survival mode, is actually loosely based on our previous mobile game, which also had hearts. And then we tried to just switch that around completely, because in race mode you want to build as high as possible, as fast as possible. And we thought, what if we just switch it around completely and make the height like a limit that you have to build below and put as many bricks as possible there. And that's how how we came up with the puzzle mode.
Yeah.
But it took like, I think we made like 30 different modes and just scrapped all of them until we came up with these three.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of work definitely went into that, because I can't believe each and every mode I loved. In fact, my favorite mode was puzzle mode. I personally hate being on a time limit. I hate the racing part, but I couldn't believe I was actually liking this race, this version of race. So that's the only time you could probably get me to do something like that. Otherwise, I like it on my own pace. And I'm putting multiplayer into something like the puzzle version of it. Like that's my go-to mode. That's where I'm at like all the time. Is there any plans for like a DLC puzzle mode pack or anything like that?
For levels, you mean? For the trials?
We're
constantly working on updates, and we have a big list of what we want to do. And extra levels is something that we could definitely do, although I do think that for the puzzle mode that lends itself really well to make extra levels. But the other two, I think we've already sort of gotten everything out of it that's in there, because the race levels and the survival levels, we made a couple of really difficult ones, and I feel that those are like the amount of levels that I want to make for those two modes. But for puzzle, we can definitely add more. I'm not sure if we're going to do it, because it's not on the list right now. But that's definitely something to consider, because I personally also really like the puzzle levels.
Yeah.
although it's hard for me to judge them because I made them. So I've never played it like with a blank sheet.
Ah, okay, I see what you're saying. Are they difficult to create?
Well, I basically just rearrange some bricks in Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And see if I can fit them under a specific height on a specific base. And then I play it and I notice maybe I can fit more, and then just rearrange them a bit. And it takes just some iterations of playing and playtesting with players that haven't played it yet.
Yeah. So placing that the top piece, that top old house at the end, like when you win a match, how did that come about?
That's actually also something that came from the previous game. 99 Bricks Wizard Academy was the first version of the game that had this whole wizard theme and the with the wizard on the cloud. Before it was just generic Tetris graphics. Mm. And in 99 Bricks Wizard Academy, we wanted to make it so that it felt as if you were building a tower and it was like your house and you have to finish it by placing a little roof on top. And in that game, it made a lot of sense. Oh, yeah. And then we just sort of naturally took it along to Tricky Towers, in which there's no real context that explains why it's there. It's just from the previous game. But we still feel that it's a nice touch to let the winner do something and have all the other people look at it. And it really, I noticed so for example, this weekend we were on a conference and we were showing the game, and I noticed people that see it first time, they're like, oh, what's that? And then once they place it, they're like, oh, now my tower is finished. And it feels like a joyous moment or something.
It's extremely satisfying. So the different characters in the game, I mean, I try to find, I couldn't understand what switching the characters did. Do they actually do anything to the game, or are they just there cosmetically?
No, it's just cosmetic.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. I was really trying to find a reason, and I'm glad it's like that. This way, everything is fair, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did consider if they should have, different magic powers or something, but we just felt that would be unfair. Mm. And, basically, it's just so that when you want to play with a boy or with a girl, you can pick which one you want to play with. Yeah, just a way of for people to show off their character, and it's also a good thing for future DLC or just updates. We can add new characters really easy. So, yeah,
sure. All right. So the music is very cutesy. However, it's really really catchy. just wondering, because I always like to look at the musician's work. Who is a musician?
Musician is Jonathan van den Wijngaarden. He's a Dutch composer who works on a lot of Dutch games, but also other games from other countries. Mm. And usually he does these really big, epic scores of sci-fi titles, and it's all raw. Mm. And for this game, I always we really have to find make some funny noises, make some put a little kazoo in there, a stupid little trumpet or something. Mm. So it's also for him, it's a little bit out of his comfort zone, but I think he did a good job on making it super happy and funny in a way.
Yeah, he did. Were there any really, really big, you guys have been doing it for 8 years, you said, or maybe a little bit longer, but were there any big hurdles along the way? I'm not sure if I should ask this question, because we kind of really spoke about all the different things, but... Any really big hurdles that you guys kind of came to a halt with, or any big struggle making the game, or anything interesting? In other words, I'm really trying to pull.
We're a small team, and being in an indie game industry is always difficult financially, right? So you always want to try to find the time and the money to make what you want to make yourself. And we did a lot of work for hire before we started working on Tricky Towers. So that's definitely been a struggle. And for this one, this was also our first time we did a multiplayer game, and also our first time we did an online game. And online is just was a huge step for us. And it's actually, so we have four developers in our team. And we have me as an artist and game designer and one business manager. So we're a really small team. So I guess like the technical hurdle of making sure that it works online and on for example, on PlayStation, there is a pretty big audience because we were in PlayStation Plus. So I guess that was like a pretty big hurdle, but it wasn't a hurdle that stopped us. So
can you tell me like the positions of like the six people in the group?
Just
so that I have an idea.
So we have two founders, one of which is Niels. He does all the business development and he does like all the contacts outside of Weird Beard and tries to make sure that we get as much press as possible and does like relations. He also did a lot of management within the studio. We have Joram, who is also one of the founders, and he's also our technical director. So he's like the knows everything about the technical stuff, like the coding.
Okay.
And he still does a little coding, but he's getting away from that. Mm-hmm. And we have basically three developers. We have Jonathan, who did most of the online stuff, and he's our tech lead. Mm-hmm. We have Rebecca. She is also a coder. And Joram, who also does coding, and they're like the technical team.
I see.
And I work together with them as I do like all the art and all the animations, and I come up with like game design, so the rules of the game. And then of course there's Jonathan van der Wijngaarde who does the audio.
Yeah.
But he's like a freelancer.
I see. Yeah. So also just out of curiosity. The PlayStation, when you're doing an online game on PlayStation, on the PlayStation Network, or it's also on Steam, right? Is it only PlayStation and Steam at the moment?
At the moment it is, yeah.
Any plans for like Xbox or anything?
Or well, yeah, that's a difficult one, but, we're looking forward. We're looking if we can port it to other platforms, but right now we're focusing on doing well on PlayStation and doing well on Steam, and those are the two things it's out on right now.
So
depending on how well we're doing, we can look at other ports.
So the original question was the doing online gaming with the PlayStation Network or the Steam or the Steam Network. I'm not sure if you could even call it that. Does PlayStation Network have like their own servers or anything, or is it like you actually have to connect to someone's console, and that's how that kind of works?
Well, to be honest, like the really technical stuff, I can really tell you because that's what, for example, Jonathan does. We do, if I'm not mistaken, connect from peer to peer.
Okay.
So. There's a connection between all the players, and we use some services for that, but we don't have like dedicated servers or something for ourselves.
Okay. Do you know by any chance if that was even an option, like if it was possible to have dedicated servers from PlayStation?
Yeah, but
directly?
That's just expensive. Oh, I don't know if that's from PlayStation.
Okay.
No, I don't know about that.
Okay. Because the only reason I ask is because I remember playing on Xbox, the original one, and like at the end of the life cycle of that, you could have literally gone on with a really, really old game that, you know, nobody supports anymore and still try to play an online game. And the reason I thought that was the case was because there were, like, dedicated servers that, you know, if you were paying for Xbox Live. So, you know, I was just curious.
I don't, to be honest, I don't know about
the
technical specs of this, especially of, like, the old Xbox. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm a math teacher in Queens, New York, actually, and it's the area I teach in is a primarily like area in poverty, and so I know that computers science and computer programming and stuff, that's where a big portion of the money is. So you know, I'm trying to like do things that could kind of push them in that direction. So because of that, I have a few questions that, you know, I don't show kids the podcast or anything, but like this piece, it's a possibility like in the future I could like show them like these few questions.
Sure.
So can you tell us a little bit about your background in programming?
Yeah, so the funny thing is I'm not a programmer.
Right.
But I have some really, really low basic knowledge just to so I can talk with the programmers.
Mm-hmm.
But our programmers all did, if that's your question, they all did like a university, like what do you call it? Like what's that in English, Jonathan? What did you guys study?
Sorry?
Informatica or something? What's that?
Computer science.
Yeah, just computer science, right? Yeah. So they all have a background in computer science, and I did art school. So that's completely different. Where I also got a little bit of coding, but usually for coders in like the game industry, they just want like a really decent education in computer science.
Interesting. If you had to give one tip to someone who kind of wanted to break into the field, what would it be?
For games?
Yeah.
Or
just anything technological, you know, dealing with programming or maybe even art design.
I guess for programming, it's mostly just get a good education. And most of the programmers that work here, they're working on games because they like games, but they could also work on some other field that uses programming, like, I don't know, AI stuff or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they choose to work in games because they like working on games. And I guess that's most important. If you want to work in the game industry, you have to just work on that stuff in your free time and try to learn as much as possible about it. But you also want to learn a craft. So programming is a craft, or art is a craft, or audio is a craft. And you just have to be good at that, I guess. And also, it's just luck. Like, I completely lucked into this industry. Because people gave me a shot, and I just took it, and I landed the job, and it just all rolled from there.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you got the position. I'm glad you are where you are, because then the art that I love so much in Tricky Towers just wouldn't be there.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, so you know, one thing I'm glad you said was that you kind of have to put in a lot of your own time, right? Extra time into it. Yeah. Are you playing any games currently besides Tricky Towers? Well, I mean, do you even go home and play Tricky Towers at the end of the day?
No. I think I booted it up like twice to see if it worked, and at home, and my girlfriend played it a couple of times. But I played it so many hours at the office that I'm fine. I just sometimes I want to see if there are people online, but. Right now I just finished Inside from Playdead. It's a single player game, and I just played Hyper Light Drifter, which is also a single player game.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Rocket League, mm-hmm. which you probably know.
Yeah.
I also look at a lot of like new games. I just take a look at it to see how they work and what their mechanics are, and then put them aside again, but I think I finished like five games like completely in a year or something, because I want to really dive into it. So for example, Dark Souls, I really love the Dark Souls series, so I've played that a lot. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's completely different from Tricky Towers.
Yeah. I was going to say. do you have any hidden gems or anything like that, like any hidden games? You know, like really, really good games that you think people wouldn't really know about that you think are great, in your opinion? And it could be from any era, from the 80s, 90s, today.
That's always difficult because there are so many.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think... for mobile, I got a tip from another Dutch developer because I asked him the same question, and he came with Snakebird, which it's a mobile game.
Hmm.
It's a tiny puzzle game of like a bird that's also a snake, and you have to like maneuver him through a level, and it's really polished and looks great. So that's a really cool little game that not a lot of people know about, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just mentioned Hyper Light Drifter, which is, it is a pretty big game, but still a lot of people don't know about it. It's just a really, if you like the Zelda vibe from back in the days, then this is like a modern day version of that, with super difficult combat. So in that sense, it's like a Dark Souls meets Zelda or something, which is really nice.
Yeah, I've heard about it. That's on like iOS.
No, it's Hyper Light Drifter is on Steam and PlayStation.
Okay.
Might also be on Xbox, but I'm not sure. But it's like an 8-hour single player combat game. Mm. Yeah, adventure type of combat game.
Okay. That was actually all the questions I really had for you today.
Okay, cool.
Just want to thank you.
Can I mention one more game?
Yeah, please.
Towerfall. You should play Towerfall.
Towerfall. What's the sun is that on?
It's a four-player archer game, like shooting arrows at each other. And that game is just, we've played it at the office here for like 3 years, every week, just a lot. It's a super fun four-player multiplayer game. It is local. There's no way you could do this online. Mm. But yeah, at WeirdBeard, we just love Towerfall.
I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah, cool.
Well, if there's anything else you kind of want to get out to anyone else that might be looking at this, now's the time. Otherwise...
Well, yeah, keep an eye out for our updates. We're constantly working on improving it. Also, we're doing streams every Tuesday and Thursday. That's on at 5 o'clock in Amsterdam time. So I don't know. That's like noon or something in America. And on Tuesday we do like a stream that we play with the community, and on Thursday we do a stream where we're working on the game. So that's also where we sometimes show off new updates, stuff that we're going to do in a new update. For example, we just showed off a new leaderboard mode that we're going to add. Which is like a puzzle endless mode. And keep an eye out for those updates, because we just want to make sure that everybody likes Tricky Towers as much as possible.
Yeah. One more question, I'm sorry. Yeah. Are you working on anything personally that you want to talk about? Anything else besides Tricky Towers?
Well, it's not really game related, so I work on some like art at home and do some pencils, but I also work on new game concepts for WeirdBeard, but that's all like super early stage. Like at some point we're going to work on a new game, and we're still looking for what we want to do. So it's not really anything we can say a lot about yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you again so much for the time. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for reaching out. It's been really nice to talk to you.
Same.